ओम ज्ञान चिमिरंदस्यम ज्ञानांगनाशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनुभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले सायं रूपकदामयं ददति स्वापदन्दिकम् अददनश्च नन्दन्तैर्विदं यच्चे पुनः पुनः श्रीमारूपपदाम्बुजो दुलिस्यां जन्मजन्मनि। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासुदेव गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। यदि ते हरिपारसरोजसुधं रसपानपरं हृदयं सततं परिरित्या गृहं कलिभावमयं भज गोद्रुमकानन कुञ्जविदुं भज गोद्रुमकानन कुञ्जविदुं भज गोद्रुमकानन कुञ्जविदुं धनजोवन जीवन राजसुखं नहि नित्यं मनुक्षण नाशपरं जजग्रम्यकता सकलं विबलं भज गोद्रुमकानन कुञ्जविदुं भज गोद्रुमकानन कुञ्जविदुं भज गोद्रुमकानन कुञ्जविदुं भज गोद्रुमकानन कुञ्जविदुं भज गोद्रुमकानन कुञ्जविदुं। This is a very beautiful song by Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Godruma Bhajana Upadesh. So I was just thinking, we're sitting here relishing this Praj Leela. This is all the mercy of the Godruma Kananana Kunjavi Dum. Just like we learn Indu. Indu means? Moon. So another word for moon is vidum. So here it says Godruma Kanana. Kanan means? We learned that also. Forest. Godruma Kanana Kunjavi Dum. The beautiful golden moon of the Kunjas of the forest of Godrum. Bhaktivinoda has described Mahaprabhu in such a sweet way. The beautiful golden moon of the kunjas of the forest of Godrum. Bhaja Godruma Kanana Kunjavidum. So it is the mercy of that golden moon of Godrum, Sri Gaurachandra, that we're sitting here in this wonderful Sri Mayapur Dham, enjoying nice kirtans, association of all the Vaishnavas, hearing nice Krishna Katha. So he gives very nice instructions. What does he say? Yadi te hari parasa rojasudam. Yadi, if, te you, haripada, you know haripada means foot of Lord. But he says haripada saroja. You know saroj? Saroj means? No, saroj means who's born from the river. Saroja. Saroja is the lotus flower. This is another name. Lotus flowers have so many names. Yadi, those beautiful lotus feet. Yadi te haripada saroja sudam. Now there's two words. One is shudam. Another is sudam. Sudam means nectar. Shud means pure. But sudha, sudha means nectar. Yadi te haripada saroja sudam. Rasa, that the rasa of that nectar of the lotus feet of the Lord, rasa, panaparam. If you just, panaparam, if you just want to go on continuously drinking that nectar of the lotus feet of the of lotus feet of Lord Hari. Yadite hari parasa roja sudam rasapana param ridayam satatam satatam, always ridaya. Ridaya means within the heart. If you just want to go on drinking that sweet nectar from the lotus feet of the Lord constantly within your heart, Pariritya griham kalibhava mayam. He says pariritya. He said, just give up. What is that? Griham. Huh? Give up this household life. Huh? Now we're going to get criticized. Huh? But which household life does he say to give up? He says, pariritya griham kalibhavamayam. That householder life that is full of kalibhav. Huh? He doesn't say to give up householder life. He himself was householder. He had a dozen children. So how he can say give up householder life? But he says, pariritya griham kalibhavamayam. But give up that householder life that is just full of kalibhav. Huh? Only interested in increasing our sense gratification, and no service of sadhus, no service of Vaishnavas, no chanting of the holy name. Give up that householder life. Pariritya griham kalibhavamayam. Give up that kalibhav householder life. Bhaja godruma kanana kunja vidum. And just worship that beautiful golden moon of the kunjas of the forest of Godrum. Dana jovana jivana raja sukham nahi nityam anukshana nasha param. Dana, dhan, you know, dhan. Wealth. Dana jovana, we heard before, jovan, jovan and ko, hati gori, bude and ko. Jovana means youth. We're all very much anxious to get wealth and youth. We spend so much money as we get older trying to keep our youth. We put so much makeup and so many things. Just like in Spanish, what do they say? En su juventud gastó su dinero. En su juventud gastó su salud buscando dinero. En su plenitud gastó su dinero buscando salud. Ya sin salud, ya sin dinero, ya sin salud, hallaba Romero en una taúd. En su juventud, you can almost guess, juventud, young life. In his young life, gastó su salud. Salud, just like we say salute. You know, salud means health. So in su juventud, he spent all his health looking for wealth, dinero. In Spanish, mucho trabajo, poco dinero. We say much work and little dinero, little money. So in his youth, he spent all of his health looking for wealth. In su plenitud, just like always we hear this, there's a plenary session of the GBC. Plenitud means so many years have gone now. So in his old age, in su plenitud, he gastó su dinero buscando salud. Now he spent all his wealth looking for health. In his youth, he spent all his health looking for wealth, and now in his old age, he's spending all his wealth looking for health. Y ya sin dinero, ya sin salud, allá va Romero en un ataúd. And now without wealth, and now without health, there goes Romero in a pine box. So we spend all of our time looking for things. Dana jovana. Dana jovana. Jivana. We want long life also. Dana jovana jivana. Raja sukham. You can figure that one out. Raja sukham. Kingly pleasure. Dana jovana jivana raja sukham nahi nityam. Can you figure that one out? Sanskrit is very simple actually. Nahi nityam.
It is not eternal.
Nahi nityam anukshana at every second. Nashaparam. He's using his word param. Param means to have tendency. So nashaparam. Its tendency is, its nature is that it's being destroyed at every minute, slipping from our hands. We're chasing after all this wealth and health and youth, and all these things are just slipping between our fingers. And we cannot keep it. Anukshana nasha param. Tanajovana jivana rajasukham nahi nityam anukshana nasha param. Now he says, tyaja gramya kata. Tyaj, you know, tyag. So this is the verb that it comes from. Tyaja gramya kata. Now another thing that's very favorite of ours. Huh? Gramya kata. We want to speak so much gossip and rumors and so many things. Tyaja gramya kata. Sakalam. If you lived in Bengal, then you can figure out sakalam. Sakalam means all of it. Sakalam. Bi phalam. Now we know phal. Huh? Fruit. So bi phalam. It is without fruit. It means useless. Useless and useless. They're all these things are useless and useless. Tyaja gramya kata sakalam bi phalam. Baja godruma kana na kunja vidum. Just worship the beautiful golden moon of the kunjas of the forest of Godrum. So now we're coming to the most wonderful place in Braj called Javat. Just down the road a little ways from Tirkadam. Now we heard yesterday how somehow or other Purnamasi stopped the wedding of Sri Krishna, because then the ecstatic bliss of Radha and Krishna's pastimes would have been finished. So this place, Java, just only exists to increase the rasulas, the joyfulness of the pastimes. Parakiya bhave brajete prachar. We were singing the other day. This parakiya bhav, because there's no question of parakya, because Radha and Krishna are one. And all the gopikas are just expansions of Radharani. So there's no question of any parakya. But they perform the pastimes in that bhav. Parakya bhav, brajete prachar. The pastimes are performed in that mood, because that mood is very exciting. Becomes there's so much anxiety and so much tension and the ecstasy. When there's tension and ecstasy and anxiety, then everything becomes very intense. So this is very intense. Just like a couple of years ago, we took all the Gurukul boys to Javat. So I was trying to think, how am I going to get these young fellows to understand this parakiya bhav? This is very esoteric. So how do we give some simple example? So, that was just about Diwali time. So those of you who have been in India, you know what Diwali means. Firecrackers, huh? They allow it here in Mayapur? A little bit. The Mac approves it? Probably not. So that makes it more fun, doesn't it? But anyway, that's the point. I told them, I said, now Diwali's coming, and you're all going to go up on the roof. Or maybe in the... This year they did it on the... They have a playground on the side of the Gurukul building. Some years we went up on the roof and shoot off all of these fireworks and firecrackers and these big bombs, you know, boom, you know, they had great big tubes like this long, you know, and bam, they make such a wonderful sound. So we're all going to go up on the roof and shoot off all these fireworks and big fountains and these so many things like that, and it's a lot of fun, but if you go down and set one off right outside your teacher's door, it's more fun. So this is how to understand, just for increasing the ecstasy, intensity of the pastimes. And also here, only in this Boma Vrindavan, we see the gopis with different so-called husbands and things like that. This is just an arrangement of Yoga Maya for dealing with the material world. Otherwise, in the Golok Dham, there's no such thing as they're having husbands. They just have the feeling that they have husbands, and that they've left everything and they're coming to meet Krishna. Just that feeling is there. That bhav is there. But in the material world, it appears later. There's some point in the Leela where Purnamasi reveals to everyone in Braj all their identities and shows how by her influence the so-called husbands of the gopis never even touched their wives, never even really saw their real wives. It was all the arrangement of Yogmaya. So this is the most ecstatic place of Braj, because that very exquisite, sweet Madhurya Ras is caused by this place, Javat. So somebody was asking yesterday about how it was that Radharani got married to Abhimanyu, because Javat is the home of Abhimanyu, so-called husband of Radharani. And if we search through all the Goswami literature, we don't find any story about this wedding. Only we find that one day Purnamasi came to Nandanandan with a big smile on her face. And she offered Nandanandan a nice laddu. And Nandanandan took that laddu. He said, "Where did this laddu come from?" He said, "You didn't hear? There was a wonderful wedding today." "Acha?" And Nandanandan, he took that laddu and he took a bite. He said, "Who got married?" He said, "Radharani got married to Abhimanyu." He spit that laddu out and became completely stunned. And began to cry. This is the only hint we hear about this wedding. Is just Radharani's marriage with Abhimanyu is just an arrangement of Yogamaya for dealing with the material world. Otherwise, Acharya is described, he's just like the incarnation of Krishna's shadow. Otherwise, nobody can be married to Radharani. Nobody can even come close to Radharani. But just to increase the rasulas, just to increase, no one should feel bad about or angry toward this jatila and kutila, although they make so many problems. That is just to make the pastimes more ecstatic. Just like one time, very early in the morning in Nandagram, our Biswanath Chakravarti Thakur, he has written a very beautiful book called Chamatkar Chandrika. Moonbeams of sheer astonishment. So he describes there that one day, very early in the morning in Nandagram, the queen of Vrindavan, Nandarani, Sri Yasoda, she was filling a great big wooden box full of so many wonderful ornaments and cloth and silk and pearls and a guru and incense and so many wonderful things she was putting in a box. And Nandanandan came by and he said, Maya, what are you doing so early in the morning, Maya?" He says, "Lala, can't you see I'm filling this box full of so many wonderful things? I'm putting here jeweled pollen of the camphor lotus." We don't know what is this, jeweled pollen of the camphor lotus. "And the most wonderful ornaments in gold and silver and silks and jewels and pearls and diamonds and so many things. Oh Mata, and why are you filling this box with all these things?" "Lala, you're asking too many questions. Why don't you go out and play?" "No, I refuse to leave the room until you tell me what you're doing and for whom are you making this box." She says, "Oh, if I must tell you, what happened is Krishna says, "So are you filling this box, but Maya, are you filling this box for me or are you filling this for Balaram?" And Mother Yasoda says, "Lala, I have already made a bigger box full of so many wonderful things for you and another one for your older brother, Baldao." Then Lala says, then who else is pulling your heartstrings beside me and Baldao? And Nandarani says, oh dear Prince of Braj, just like by my great fortune, I have gotten you as a son, from the jewel mine of the womb of my friend Kirtita has been born the most wonderful daughter. And that daughter, she is filled with so many wonderful qualities. Now generally, when girls have so many wonderful qualities like shyness and chastity and intelligence and beauty, those qualities decorate those girls. But this girl is so wonderful, by those qualities taking shelter in her person, they become decorated. This girl's name is Sri Radha, and it is for her that I am making this wonderful box of things. Now hearing his mother describe so sweetly the qualities and glories of Srimati Radharani, he immediately erupts and all kinds of, his hairs begin to stand on end. So he pulls his chadar over so Mother Yasoda can't see. But he's just, his hairs are standing on end in sheer bliss. And just to hear more, he says, Maya, whose daughter is she? And where does she stay? And why are you so attached to her? How have you become so attached to her? He says, Lala, this girl is the fruit of millions and millions of pious activities done by Vrishabhanu and Kirtida. And she lives in Javat, and she comes here every day and cooks for you, and I'm so pleased with her service I'm making this box of things for her, because just now her husband Abhimanyu has come. He's talking with your father, Nanda Baba, right now, and I'm going to send all these things back to Javat with him. So just at that moment, one little servant girl named Lavangalati comes running in and says, oh Maya, Rangan and Tankana, the goldsmiths have come. So then Mother Yasoda shuts that box, locks it with a key, puts the key on top of the box, and she tells Dhanista that now you stay here and watch this box, because I have to go and talk to the goldsmiths to make beautiful ornaments and decorations for Krishna and Baldao. And she goes outside. Just at that moment, Subal and all of Krishna's most intimate friends appear on the scene. So Lala, he takes that key, unlocks the box, he takes everything out of that box and gives it to Dhanishta and tells her, you go by the forest path to Javat and take all these things. And he tells Subal that I'm going to climb inside and you lock the box and put the key on top just like it was before. So Nandanandan, he climbs inside the box, Subal shuts the lid, turns the key, puts the key on top of the box, and everyone disappears. Then Mother Yasoda returns, and after some time, before say goodbye to Mother Yasoda, Abhimanyu comes, and Mother Yasoda inquires of his welfare, and then tells him, oh Abhimanyu, I am so pleased with your wonderful wife, that I have filled this box with the most precious jewels and gold and silver and ornaments and silks and wonderful things, then I would want you to take this box back to her and present it to her and give her this message. Madakshi Sukada Kirtida Kirtide Radhe. Madakshi Sukada, who gives happiness to my eyes. Madakshi Sukade Kirtida, Kirtide, who gives glory to Kirtida. Kirtida means one who gives glory, but Radharani, Kirtida, Kirtide, she's the one who gives glory to Kirtida. Radhe, oh beloved Radhe, within this box I am keeping a most brilliant aura, and it is filled with just beautiful ornaments, just to decorate, that are fit for decorating your body, and I want you to take all of these ornaments and every day enjoy the contents of this box to your full satisfaction. So you please give her this message, this sandesh, and take this box back to her. So Abhimanyu, he puts this box on top of his head, and feeling the weight, he says, oh my goodness, I must have left house under a very auspicious nakshatra today. This is filled with fabulous wealth. I've become so wealthy today. Huh? This is incredible. My mother will be so happy. And he starts off to Javat, carrying within that box that wonderful Sri Krishna, who's going to the house of Abhimanyu, being carried by Abhimanyu for a rendezvous with Abhimanyu's wife, own wife. Now on the way, Abhimanyu, he was filled with so much happiness. By the time he got back to Javat, he was erupting with so many ecstatic symptoms and practically dancing, carrying this huge heavy box on top of his head. And even though it was such a heavy box, he couldn't even feel the passage of time. We know when we carry something heavy, we start out, oh, it's not so heavy. And then after we go for a little while, But Abhimanyu, instead of feeling it heavier and heavier, he felt it lighter and lighter. What is the cause? Who could possibly become tired carrying thickly condensed eternity, bliss and knowledge in the form of Sri Krishna on top of his head? Just like we all have that experience, you know, sometimes we're out in Sankirtan and everyone's just taking a book and we're just meeting so many wonderful, and books are just going and going and going and going. We don't know how they're going. All of a sudden, beep, beep, we look, there's a Sankirtan van. And we don't even know how the day passed because we were blissfully engaged in Krishna consciousness. Sometimes people say, I got burnout on Sankirtan. We don't get burnout on Sankirtan, we get burnout on lust. Lust is what burns us. But Sankirtan and Krishna Katha and Krishna's service, these things enliven us like anything. So he was so enlivened when he got there. And Jatila, when she saw this big box, she said, oh, my dear son, what is this? And he immediately explained that this box is filled with so many valuable jewels and ornaments and silks and so many wonderful things sent by Nandarani. And she has given the message that, oh, Marakshi Sukade, Kirtida Kirtide Radhe. Within this box is a very brilliant aura, and it is filled with ornaments just befitting your transcendental body, and you should enjoy the ornaments of this box every day to your full satisfaction. So Jatila, she becomes overwhelmed with bliss. Oh, by giving this wonderful box to my daughter-in-law, certainly she'll become very pleased with Abhimanyu. Today is a very auspicious day, she thought. Now my daughter-in-law, she'll become very pleased with my dear son, because he's going to give such a wonderful box to her. What great fortune. Abhimanyu will become so pleased. I mean, Radharani will become so pleased with my son. So she told him that even if I and your sister and the servant girls all together, we couldn't possibly lift this box. So you yourself personally take this box down to Radharani's room where she's sitting right now with all her friends and place it on top of the table where she can easily see what's inside this box. So Abhimanyu picks up that box back on his head again. He goes to Radharani's room. All the gopikas are sitting there with Radharani. It's just like a deep, dark, dingy dungeon when they're in Javat. And they heard the latch on the door and their eyes perked up and they look and they saw, oh. They pretend not to look. And Abhimanyu comes in. As he enters, from the corner of their lotus petal eyes, they see this wonderful box. And suddenly Radharani's left eye, left breast, left arm, left side is twitching uncontrollably. So they're all just sitting there pretending to not pay any attention to this fellow who's just come in. And he sets this big box down and he delivers the message of Nandarani. that Radharani should enjoy the contents of this box to her full satisfaction. And my mother says you should accept this gift and this message of Mother Yasoda. And he leaves. Now, as soon as he leaves, we can just imagine, all these little girls are sitting here, just like all these little girls are sitting here, and suddenly a big box has come into the room. Within their minds, the most uncontrollable bliss is exploding like that. Radharani is just twitching, and she said, "Oh, Lalite, somehow or other, my left side, this is the most dark, dingy place, this room in my house in Javad, but somehow today, by seeing this box, all of these wonderful symptoms," and Lalita says, "Yes, this very, very auspicious symptoms. There must be a very wonderful Manohar ornament inside this box." Manohar, we learned the other day, means enchanting. It also is another name for Krishna. So all of them, their minds are just reeling in ecstasy, and they're all around this little box. You just imagine all these little girls around this little box, and Radharani, she takes the key, and she turns the key, and she opens the lid, and out pops Nanda Nandan! And Lalita says, "Whoa, ho, bo, bo, what a wonderful day it is today. How glorious this day is. How glorious is this ornament within the box. How glorious is the Mother Yasoda who sent this box. How glorious is her order. How glorious is Jatila's order to follow the order of Nanda. Everything today has become totally auspicious." And Radharani, although she's very happy, and all the gopikas, they become embarrassed because they were all just sitting in Radharani's room. I mean, they're not completely dressed or anything, so everyone sort of pulls their saris really quickly, and they're all just laughing and laughing and giggling and giggling. But then Radharani, she's pulled her sari, and although she's very happy, she pretends to become very angry. And she says, "Oh my goodness! A rascal thief has taken all the ornaments from this box and hidden himself inside. You go call Mother Jatila immediately and show her what rascalness is going on here." And Lalita says, "Oh my goodness, just see. This rascal villain on the head of someone else's, on the head of the husband of someone's wife, this fellow has come to hidden himself and come here just to enjoy a rendezvous with that same fellow's wife. What a rascal he is. We should immediately call Jatila and Kutila and everyone here just to see this rascal, what he's done." And then Sri Krishna says, "Why are you placing all of these accusations against me? Your friend Radharani, she's very crooked. To make all these false accusations against me. I mean, after all, what is my fault? I was just crawling around the house and I found this wonderful box and it had a wonderful scent and I crawled inside this box and this girl sends her husband to lock me inside this box and forcibly drag me here. What is my fault? You just judge. You just judge. If Radharani is at fault, then I will give her suitable punishment. And if I'm at fault, then I will be punished by being locked in the embrace of each and one, every one of you, and spend three miserable nights here in this place." In this way, so many wonderful pastimes are taking place in Javad. Another time, we all heard the other day how Radharani has benediction from Durvas Muni, that whoever tastes her cooking will never get any disease, so she cooks every day for Nanda Nandan. So one time, Jatila was talking with her daughter and her daughter Kutila, and the old lady said, "Everyone in town is talking about the scandalous behavior of this Nanda Nandan with my dear daughter-in-law. I don't know what we can do about this. It's become a topic of public debate everywhere and it's just ruining our family name. I don't know what we can do. Somehow or other, we just have to stop her. She can't go to Suryakund to worship Surya. She can't go to the Jamuna to fetch water. She can't uh, uh, go to the, she simply has to stop going to the house of Dandanandan to cook. We just can't let her go anywhere and we will put a stop to all of these things. And Jatila says, but how in the world will we ever stop her from going to Nandagram? Then Nandarani will be very upset. Well, then you'll just have to go there and explain to her that just as she cares so much for her little Lala, we also care for our little daughter-in-law. And we're so, it's just not proper etiquette that a young girl who's married to someone else goes to someone else's house and cooks every single day. It's just not possible. If she wants her to cook, then she'll stay here and cook, and she can send one of the servant girls to come and collect the sweets and take them back to Nandanandan. You just go and somehow and explain this to her. So, somehow or other, Kutila, she goes there to Nandagram and she explains all this to Mother Yasoda. It just hits her like a thunderbolt. But what can she do? Meanwhile, for Radharani, it's become the most horrible thing. She's locked forever within the house at Javat. Now it has really become a deep, dark, dingy dungeon. She can't even practically function at all. All the gopikas we described yesterday, today, they put so many beautiful soft lotus flowers and chandan paste. And as soon as Radharani lies down, because she's suffering in this biraha agni, this fire of separation, as soon as she lies down, poof, they all become burning embers. All those beautiful lotus flowers and sandalwood paste becomes glowing red. This is so amazing, this fire of separation that Radharani feels is such an amazing thing. And practically she's not breathing, she's not hearing what people say, she's not looking, she's just lying there practically lifeless. So then, Mother Yasoda sent Dhanista there, and Dhanista comes in, she sees the condition of, the pitiable condition of Radharani. And she exclaims to Lalita, "Oh Lalite, today because Radharani didn't cook, Mother Rohini cooked. But Mother Yasoda was so upset because he just sort of, Nandananda just sort of picked at his food. He didn't really eat properly like he usually does. So she sent me here to get Radharani to cook a huge amount of sweets so that she can take them in the evening and again tomorrow morning. But just see what can be done. She's completely unconscious. What can be done?" So seeing no other alternative, she runs over to Radharani and yells in her ear, says, "Hey Radhe, just look, your beautiful Shyam Sundar is standing right in front of your eyes right now. Just get up and see." So as soon as the word Shyam Sundar enters within Radharani's ear, immediately her beautiful lotus petal eyes blossom, fully awake. And then Dhanista says, "Hey Radhe, quickly cook some sweets for Nandanandan." And immediately, hearing that Nandananda hasn't eaten properly and he's anxious for sweets cooked by her hand, Radharani becomes so happy. She says, "Get the oven going quick." And she comes and she sits down and just see the marvelous thing that's sitting before that oven and cooking for Nandanandan. She feels the hot air blowing from that oven to be just like ice from the Himalayas. Just see the wonderful love of Radharani. Camphor becomes fire and fire becomes ice. Who can imagine this wonderful ecstatic love that Radharani feels for Krishna? We can't even begin to comprehend it at all. Like that. So she cooks all these laddus very quickly. She cooks, today she says, "I'm going to cook four times the amount and none of you worry about my health, I'm perfectly fine." She cooks this big bunch of laddus and sends them off with Dhanista. And then she whispers something in Rupa Manjari's ear. And all the gopikas are, they're all giggling. They've made some special plan. So later in the evening, just at dusk, Bisakha comes running in and rolls on the floor in front of Jatila, just crying and crying. Jatila says, "My dear daughter Bisakha, what's the matter?" He says, "Radharani's been bitten by a very black snake. And oh no! How did that happen?" He said, "Well, she was just by the plum tree in the garden and she saw the jewel on top of its hood And reached when she reached for that jewel, the snake just bit her with all fury, and she's fallen on the ground, and the poison is spreading throughout her whole body. So just then Jatila goes running, oh, what a horrible day, what a horrible day. She comes running and says, oh, my dear Radhe, how do you feel? And she says, I just feel burning throughout my entire body. That's all I can say, nothing more I can say. So no, quick, call Abhimanyu. Oh, Jatila, oh, Kutila, run and call the mantra doctor. Bring the mantra doctor here. He'll chant the mantras and place his hands on Radharani and draw out this poison. And Radharani says, I am a very chaste woman. I will not have any male person come here and touch me. You guys are always telling me that I'm Kalakini and all these names. So no male. No, how can you talk like this? This is an emergency. Even the sages say that in emergency they can eat uneatable things, or they can touch untouchable things. This is an emergency. He said, my vrat stands. No man will touch me. So someone else says, well, there is one person in Vraj who's defeated this Kaliya and defeated this Agasura. In fact, when all the cowboys drank the water poison that was poisoned by Kaliya snake, just by his glance they were all revived. We'll bring Nandanandan here. If he just glances at Radharani without even touching her, she'll immediately be revived. And Radharani says, now you're really talking. First of all, I'm tortured by these people because of their talk about this rascal fellow. And now you want to bring him here. You will become my enemy for life if you bring that rascal here. Then what to do? What to do? Maybe Purnamasi, she's very wise. Maybe she knows the mantras. So everybody runs to Purnamasi. Said, please, just hang on. So Lalita says, well, we're going to put a tourniquet and around the place where the bite was inflicted, but surely after an hour or so, this poison is going to spread throughout our body. So go quickly. So they run to Purnamasi, and Purnamasi, she says, well, I don't know these mantras. What about Gargi? Because Gargi, you're the daughter of Garga Rishi. So has he taught you these mantras? And Gargi says, I don't know these mantras, but my little sister knows all these mantras. Well, where is your little sister? How can we call her here? Well, my little sister is married and to a very respectable Brahmin family in Benares. But just yesterday she came home to visit her father. And just this morning she came to my house. She's right around that corner in my house right now. And she knows all these mantras. So immediately Purnamasi says, then run quickly to Gargi's house and convince this her younger sister to go and save your daughter-in-law. So they run into the house. And Gargi's beautiful little sister is there, named Vidyavali. And Gargi comes in and says, Vidyavali, the most horrible thing is certain. You must have heard the glories of that wonderful daughter of Brisbanu Nandini. She's been bitten by a snake, and the poison is rising within her body, and soon she'll die. Is the most horrible calamity. You have to please come and save her. And Bijavali says, what kind of little sister are you? My father's dynasty, the glories of it are known throughout the universe. And my father-in-law's dynasty is equally famous throughout the three worlds. And you want to throw mud all over these two pure dynasties by asking me to go there and get involved with we have heard all the stories about this Radharani and this Nanda, and we know all these things. How can you bring us to such scandal? I will be thrown out of my father-in-law's house. And if I'm thrown out of my father-in-law's house, how can I even go back to my father's house? I have no place to go. What kind of a young sister are you? And Gargi says, you don't know anything. You live there in Benares with all these Mayavadi Brahmins. Therefore, your heart has become hard and you don't recognize the wonderful qualities of the residents of Braj who are imbued with the most ecstatic transcendental symptoms. You've become completely hard-hearted by staying with all these rascal Mayavadis. How can you say such a thing? And Vidyavali says, well, actually what you say is true. Your words are right. But one thing is that I've heard about this fellow who wanders around Braj at his whim, and he sends the most wanton, lusty glances at the Brajagopis. If he would so once as even once glance at me, I will simply give up my body. Don't worry, I will come with you. We'll all surround you. That rascal won't come anywhere near you. He says, all right, then I guess I will go. So somehow they convince Bijavali to come. And they take her quickly along the forest path. As they're going along the path, she said, there's two things. One is chanting mantras and one is medicine. And my father has taught me a very special medicine, since what I've understood, this is a very dangerous snake. So I will have to chew betel, and that chewed betel will have to be transferred to your daughter's mouth. I hope you don't mind. And then Gargi says, Jatila says, well, this is very strange. I've never heard of such a thing. And Gargi says, after all, the remnants of the Brahmins are taken even by kings. What to speak of us who are Vaishyas? So then Jatila says, well, when you put it that way, I guess it's all right. So they come there, and Radharani's lying practically lifeless on her bed. And Bijavali comes, and she says, first I have to examine how far the poison has risen. So very carefully Vijayavali begins to massage the very soft lotus feet of Srimati Radhika. And gradually she massages higher and higher and higher. When she gets to the heart, her hands can't rise any farther than the heart. She says, oh my goodness, the poison has risen to her heart. If it goes any further to her brain, then surely she'll be finished. She immediately begins chewing, massaging the heart and chewing on the betel nuts, and then she places her mouth over Radharani's mouth and transfers the betel nuts into Radharani's mouth. But Radharani just makes all kinds, she begins sighing and shivering, actually in ecstasy. But she said, just see these symptoms. This means that this is, I don't know what to think. I've never seen such a poison like this. This remedy has never failed before. And Jatila cries out, oh, please save our daughter-in-law, please save her. Says, yes, I can save your daughter-in-law. I know one mantra that my father taught me. But it takes 3 hours to chant that mantra, and you can't be disturbed by anything. If your attention breaks, you have to start all over again. So you all have to leave this room. Don't even come near the door for 3 hours. Any noise will distract me. The mantra will fail. I'll have to start over. By that time, she'll be dead. You understand the graveness of the situation, I assume. So everyone runs out of the door. And Bijavati locks the door from the outside, inside rather. And everyone's afraid to even come near that door. They're not going to come near that door for 3 hours. You've probably understood who Bijavati actually is. They have 3 hours free time. No one's going to come and bother them to enjoy the most wonderful jokes and pastimes together. After 3 hours, everyone comes close to the door. When they get close to that door, everyone says, just hear, that snake has come. Because Bijavali told by the power of this mantra, she would call the snake here and the snake would draw the poison out. Just hear the voice of that snake, and everyone pushes their ear even harder to the door. And inside, Krishna begins to imitate the voice of that snake. And he calls out, Bijavali calls out, oh black snake, who are you and where have you come from? He said, I am the most... sincere servant of my master, Lord Shiva. And I have come from Kailash. And what has brought you here? I have come here because my master, Lord Shiva, is very offended by the offenses of Mother Jatila. And he has asked me to bite Abhimanyu and kill him. Well, if he told you to bite Abhimanyu, then why have you bitten this poor girl? Because I know that if Radharani dies, then surely Abhimanyu cannot survive. But why kill Abhimanyu and Radharani when you're supposed to be punishing Jatila? Because then if I bite Jatila, she will only suffer for a few minutes. But if her dear son Abhimanyu dies in her old age, she will suffer like anything for the pain of the death of her daughter-in-law and son. But what is the great offense that Jatila has done? How has she offended Lord Shiva? My master, Lord Shiva, has a plenary expansion known as Durvasmuni. And Durvasmuni has given this young girl the benediction that her cooking will be just as sweet as nectar. And whoever tastes her cooking will never suffer from any type of disease. And this Jatila has put obstacles in the way of this girl going to the house of Nandanandan to cook for Sri Krishna, who is very, very dear to my master, Lord Shiva. And the second offense is that she has cast aspersions and scandalous lies about Sri Krishna. And my master, Lord Shiva, considers Lord Krishna as almost non-different from himself, just like we'll all go on Navadvip Mandal Prikama and see Harihar Kshetra, where Lord Shiva is half Har and Hari and Har and Hara. So therefore, for these two offenses, my master has sent me here to make Jatila suffer like anything. And hearing this, Jatila says, "Please, please, oh black snake, I'm falling at your lotus feet. And I'm, please, please, I'm falling at the lotus feet of you, Bijavali. Please convince him somehow or other. I will never make these offenses ever again. I will never speak any ill words against Krishna. I will never stop the Radharani from going to the underground to cook for him. Please, please, oh Bijavali, I'm falling down at your lotus feet. Please convince him." So Bijavali says, "You have heard the promise of Mother Jatila. All right, so I am taking back my poison. But if this Jatila ever speaks any ill of Sri Krishna again, without any warning, I will come here and bite Abhimanyu and Srimati Radharani, and she will suffer her old age and alone, lamenting the loss of her son and daughter-in-law." "No, no, I promise, I promise. You just have to understand, I'm old and senile, and I know that actually this Subal, he dresses up like Radharani, and just they make fun of me like this. I'm just so old and senile, and everybody thinks I'm half mad anyway. And this Jatila, this Kutila, she's completely insane, and she's useless. You just please forgive us. We'll never say anything bad again. We won't, I promise." "All right, I am taking the poison and going back to my master, Lord Shiva, on Kailash." So then Bijavali opens the door and everyone comes running in. And Radharani, who's the color had completely left her body, now her cheeks are just rosy and pink like anything, because she's been enjoying with Sri Krishna for 3 hours, so naturally. And her eyes are completely wide open. And she's feeling so happy, and Jatila is so happy, she just embraces her daughter-in-law, and then she embraces Bijavali, and she says, "Oh, this is so wonderful." And Kutila says, "Dear mother, you should tell Radharani to give the jewel locket to Bijavali as a gift." And Jatila says, "Foolish girl, why just one ornament? She should give all of ornaments. In fact, she should personally decorate Vidyavali right before our very eyes with all of her ornaments, and because no matter, because Kirtida and Mother Yasoda will immediately replenish her stock of ornaments. Therefore, she orders Radharani to decorate Vidyavali, and Radharani is sitting there decorating her own Prananath in front of her mother-in-law and sister-in-law and all of her superiors, and she's thinking, just see, I never can even look at my Prananath in front of all of my superiors, and especially my mother-in-law. Today, I'm in right in front of them, I'm embracing, because sometimes for putting necklaces and like that, I'm embracing my Prananath, and I'm unable. Many times I manifest my fussy nature and fight with my dearly beloved, but today I'm unable to manifest my feisty nature at all. Just what? This is a most glorious day. So then, Vidyavali, after she's fully decorated, she says, well, I guess I should go, but it's so late. And Jatila says, yes, yes, it's almost midnight. You shouldn't go out in the forest at night. It's very dangerous. You should just stay here, but I should get home. No, 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 it's very dangerous. You just stay here. In fact, I was just thinking within my heart that what if there was a relapse? This was such a horrible snake. Who knows, maybe there might be a relapse, and if we have to run and find you, you just stay here. In fact, we'll make a beautiful bed with underneath a canopy on the roof, and you can stay there and no one will bother you. You can sleep right next to Radharani on top of the roof tonight and stay there the whole night. In this way, Jatila and Kutila and Abhimanyu, they made so much beautiful, wonderful arrangement for Radharani to sleep on the canopy, underneath the canopy of the stars on the top of Javat in the evening. So like this, so many incredible pastimes are taking place. Another time, Kutila notices that it is the month of Magh, and every day Radharani is going to the Kumbh Mela to take bath. I mean, she's going to the Jamuna to take bath. Because in the month of Magh, that's when Kumbh Mela takes place, and everybody takes vow to bathe every day in the Ganga. So she sees Radharani, accompanied by all her sakis, she's going to take bath in the Jamuna in the month of Magh. Now, we all experienced how freezing cold the month of Magh was when it started out, at least. So Kutila, she gets this curiosity within her mind that how is my dear sister-in-law, who's so soft and cannot tolerate anything, how is it possible that she's going to the Jamuna every day in this very cold month of Magh to take bath? I wonder what religious performances these girls are really doing. So just to satisfy her curiosity, she wanders over to Nandagram and she accosts one Brijbasi there, one Nandagram Basi, and said, what is the news of the Prince of Braj today? It says, our prince, under the order of his mother, has gone to the bank of the Jamuna to take bath in the month of Magh every day. So he has just left for the Jamuna. So now the suspicion of Kutila has blossomed fully within her heart. And she says, just see, now I know what these girls are up to. And she heads toward the bank of the Jamuna. I will find them and I will immediately call my silly brother here and show him what is going on. So as she's headed toward the bank of the Jamuna, because it wasn't hard to find which way Nandanandan went, because there's these most beautiful footprints decorating the dust of Braj. And she simply follows those little footprints all along down to the bank of the Jamuna. Meanwhile, Tulsi, one of the Sakis, Tulsi, is there. And she suddenly spies Kutila is coming. And she runs as fast as she can back to the flower house on the bank of the Jamuna, just below Madan Mohan Temple. There's a place called Praskanda Tirth, where there's a beautiful flower bower with a beautiful flower house. And she rushes into that flower house, and all Lalita and Bisakha and all the gopis are just absorbed in the most wonderful pranks and joking of Radha and Krishna and so many merry pastimes, and she says, "Bo, Bo, just hear this message which spells disaster for the wonderful pastimes taking place on the banks of the Jamuna at Praskanda Tirth. The lowly sister of Abhimanyu, Kutila, is just now making her way toward this very spot." When all the gopis hear that, it's just like a thunderbolt. They said, "Oh no, now what shall we do? This is terrible. Where is she?" Well, when I met her, she was at the Chatikara forest, so she must be right now just in front of this place. And Krishna says, "Don't worry about anything. Just be calm. I am going to sneak out of here and I will call Vrindadevi and tell her to give me costume exactly like Abhimanyu. I will dress myself up like Abhimanyu and meet his sister on the way, and then I will make more prankish pastimes even after that. I will expand the prank of this whole pastime even further after that." So Krishna runs out of the grove, out of the flower house. He finds Vrindadevi and she immediately decorates him just like Abhimanyu. They cover up all of Krishna's characteristic features. He's dressed up just like Abhimanyu. And he comes along the path and he sees his sister. He says, "Oh, my dear sister Kutila, what brings you down to the Jamuna so early in the morning?" He said, "To see your wife. She has come here to take bath on the in this freezing cold morning." "Yes, and where is that rascal Sri Nandanandan? I've also heard that he's come here to take his bath on the bank of the Jamuna." And Abhimanyu says, "Oh no, I was trying to train one of my young bulls today and he just bolted away and ran into the forest, and it seems that I've lost him. That causes me some consternation. But this worry that you've planted within my mind now causes me so much anxiety. If Krishna is not there, then on some excuse you bring my wife here. And if he is there, then you call me and I will come and watch their vulgar activities from the bushes." So, Kutila heads off toward the flower bower. And as she comes close, she sees Srimati Radhika surrounded by all her friends standing there underneath the beautiful Kadamba tree. And Lalita calls out, "Oh Kutila, what has brought you here to the bank of the Jamuna this morning? I've come to learn about your activities." "Well, learn all you want. I've already learnt all I need to know. Please tell us, what is that? Tell us from your own mouth." He said, "I don't have to tell you anything because the scent of Hari in this place tells the whole story." Now Hari also means, do you know? Lion. Just like Jayanara Hari, Jayanara Hari. Hari also means lion. And Lalita says, "Oh Kutila, how wonderful you came here. We're just poor innocent girls and there's a lion here in this forest? You've come to warn us. Oh, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts." Now, Kutila becomes enraged like anything. "Oh, you rascal girls, defamers of your family's names. Don't try to joke with me in this way. I know what's going on here. Who's inside this flower, behind this flower door here? Who's in there right now?" And Lalita says, "How do we know? This grove belongs to some demigod. He's locked the door and gone away somewhere. How can we open the door of someone else's house?" "Yes, you are indeed innocent young girl, Lalita. You have never opened someone else's door, but you are very expert in getting other people to open other people's doors and enter their houses. In fact, you are the self-effulgent acharya in this science." And with that, she runs up and kicks down the door of the flower door of the flower kunj, and she rushes inside to find Radharani's broken pearl necklace and Krishna's broken garland. And she says, just see what type of religious activities are you girls doing here on the bank of the Jamuna so early in the morning. Huh? And then Radharani, she just begins to, she says, those things aren't mine. That necklace actually belongs to your brother Abhimanyu, I swear it. And she begins to wiggle her head and wiggle her eyebrows, and she begins, a shrieking voice begins to scold Kutila in such a way that she backs up. She's frightened, seeing Radharani surrounded by all these boldly outspoken girls. He says, no, I'm going to go and show this to all your superiors. Well, Radharani says, you can, wherever your fickle little mind goes, you can madly follow behind it. What do I care? These things don't belong to me, so I'm not at all concerned. You go door to door and show them to everyone in Braj. Why should I care? And seeing the bold nature of the Braja Devis, then Kutila, she just, I'm going right now to show this to your mother-in-law, right this minute. And she runs. I'm leaving for Braj, and she runs off. So then she comes back and she meets her brother in the forest and said, just see, here is Krishna's, that rascal Sri Krishna's flower garland and the broken pearl necklace of your wife. Oh my goodness. I'm going to go immediately to King Kamsa right now, and I'm going to go on to Mathura. I will take the south road to Mathura and immediately go to King Kamsa and complain to him. He will come here with 100 infantry and 10 cavalry men and arrest this Nanda Maharaj and his son and throw them in jail. Now you immediately go home. Actually, I've got a better idea, because we shouldn't let the scandal of this thing come in our family. I will go to Govardhan Mala's house and tell him that this necklace belongs to his wife Chandavali, and tell him the whole story and tell him he should go see King Kamsa and complain about this rascal and have them thrown in jail. This is a better idea. So you quickly go home. I'm coming in a little while. So then Abhimanyu heads off on the southern path toward Mathura, and Kutila runs back to the house in Javad. So after walking a little ways down the path, then Nandanandan amuses himself in the forest for 2 or 3 hours. Then he comes back to Javat. And as he comes, well, he told Kutila very carefully to don't tell Radharani anything about this. You just keep an eye on her when she comes, and I will come very soon. So then he comes, and he says, he calls out, I have just been to see King Kamsa. His horses and his cavalry and infantry will be here any minute. But you know your fickle daughter-in-law. If she just even gets a whiff of that rascal, Sri Krishna, she will become completely uncontrolled. So I'm going to stay with her downstairs. Now, one other news I have from my spies is that this rascal has dressed up exactly like me and is coming here right now, and you get some big dirt clods and cow dung clods and you go up on the roof and wait for him. I'm going to stay downstairs with Radharani so that she's protected, and you all stay there up on the roof and just smash him with those cow dung dirt clods and call him the most filthy names you can think of and chase him away. So then, Krishna, he goes downstairs with Radharani, everyone else goes up on the roof, and then poor Abhimanyu, he comes walking down the path. And all of a sudden, Kutila calls out, oh, you rascal! Don't think we don't know who you are! You have defamed so many girls in this braj, and now King Kamsa is coming here with 100 infantry men and 10 cavalrymen to arrest you and your father and bring you happiness by locking you as tight as a womb in a jail cell in Mathura, and then your fickleness will be finished. Hey, Kutila, what in the world are you talking about? Don't talk to me, you rascal. We know who you really are. And she takes a big dirt cloud. Zoom, pow! And he says, what's the matter? And Jatila, his own mother, begins to call him the most nasty names, because Brijbasis, when they want to speak bad, it's a good thing none of you know Hindi. So, just like they say, what is that? There's one verse. Bol and Hela Vachanantagari, Kari Lakata, Pani Kubakari, Deki Sham, Marupuri, Tomari. Bol and Tohela. The way the Brijbasis talk, Bol and Tohela. Just like if you go there, you see, they just. Hela means, I mean, they just like, oh, Dinbandhu, Aja, come here, Dinbandhu, oh, come here. You know, you'll see if you go on Prikama with me, then it's, oh, Dinbandhu, Aja. Huh? Bol and Tohela. Bachan and Tagari. Every Bachan, their words is, well, the Brijbasis say Gari. In Hindi, we say Gali. The Brijbasis, they twist it even to Gari. Their, every word is a cuss word. Bol and Tohela, Bachan and Tagari. You'll turn pink if you heard what the Brijbasis was saying. Bol and Tohela, Bachan and Tagari. Kareel Akata. Everywhere there's Kareel trees. Kareel trees, they only have stickers, no leaves. Just branches and stickers. Kriya Lakata. And Pani Kubakari. And all the water is salty. Deki Sham Madhupuri. Sham, I have seen your Madhupuri. Bol and Tohela Vachanatagai. So they're just calling out the filthiest names. Just like our Gopi Pranadan. Now he lives in Govardhan. So this little Gaur Mohan. Associating with all the Brijbasi kids, he's learned all of these things, you know. So one time he was playing and the ball bounced through the screen and broke the screen of the house of the guy who in charge of the electricity. He's the most corrupt fellow in the whole of toll town of Govardhan. You don't want to cross with him, you know. And that lady came over to the house and she was just screaming like a banshee at Gopi Pranadan and his poor wife, and they were just, you know, like this. And little Gaur Mohan walked over and he started using all these Brijbasi words at her. And she just looked at this little kid, this little, you know, he's only this tall, you know, and he would just, some of the heaviest words. What he was going to do with everybody's sister in the whole neighborhood. And she just went, oh, Krishna! And she laughed and ran out of the house. So anyway, this is the Brijbasis. Bol and Tohela Bachana Dagari, Kari Lakata Pani Kubakari, Mdeki Shama Ripuri Tumari. So they were just calling. He says, but Mata, it's me, your son. I mean, we know who you really are. Pow! Whoa, Abhimanyu, today my mother has been, and sister have been haunted by a ghost. I'll have to go get, pow, comes another dirt cloud. I must go get an exorcist. And he ran off to find an exorcist in Braj somewhere. In this way, this Javad is just filled with so many incredible, delectable, wonderful, extremely blissful pastimes. In fact, there's another pastime. Because when you go there to this Javat, used to be completely run down and it completely was falling apart. Somehow or other, somebody came and gave a donation to Brindakund and asked us to please fix up this place. So we fixed up, a little bit we fixed it up. We did some plastering and redid some of the back walls, was completely falling down. And there's a beautiful temple. This Radharani is called Radha Kanta. And this is the absolutely most beautiful Radharani in all of Braj. When you come to this Javat, she's made of brass. So she's this beautiful, soft, golden color. And she's got such beautiful black cudgel all around her beautiful lotus petal eyes. And she looks so soft and so sweet and so young and so innocent and so wonderful. Just so sweet. In fact, she's so beautiful. When you see Radha Kanta, when you see him, it looks like his eyes are just popping out of his head to see the beauty of Radharani. Those who've been, you see this. This is eye just bing. And on the side, there's a little temple of Jatila, Kutila, and Abhimanyu. On the other side, now it's all closed up, so we have to fix this. There was a temple, there was a Kali temple there, that they used to only open up on Kartik. But now they don't open it because it's all fallen apart and everything. The murtis were just, I don't know, they could maybe just clay or something, they've fallen apart. But this pastime was one time Kutila was wandering in the forest and she saw Radha and Krishna sitting together in the forest. She immediately ran and she called her brother and said, "You stupid brother Abhimanyu, you never believe me when I tell you about the antics of your wife with this rascal ravisher of young women. But you just go in the forest right now and see. You always tell me that I'm so foolish. Now you go and see what's going on in the forest with your own two eyes." So Abhimanyu, he's feeling, this sister's always bothering him, and it's always something, you know, whenever he goes, it's not what she says. But anyway, all right, he goes there in the forest. And Radharani, she catches a glimpse that Abhimanyu is headed this way, and she says, "Oh no, now what to do? Abhimanyu is coming." And Krishna says, "Just bow down." "But my husband's coming." Krishna says, "Just bow down." "But my husband's just bow down." And so Radharani bows down, and when Abhimanyu comes there, he sees this beautiful statue of Kali. Standing there with her chopper and everything and her tongue sticking out. And Radharani, very chastely for the welfare of her husband, like all young girls, worshipping goddess Kali for the welfare of her husband, he says, my sister's just so stupid. You know, she thinks I'm stupid. Just see how my wife is so nicely worshipping this Kali. So this is Kali Krishna. We heard of Kaliya Krishna. This is Kali Krishna. So like that, there's just hundreds. This Javad is the most wonderful place. What time is it? 20 past 1. Oh, I went over time because I wanted to stop early. This is the end. Or beginning, you just keep on relishing Krishna Katha wherever you can find. If you get, you know, there's so many people who are expert. Bhakti Churu Maharaj is very expert at speaking Krishna Katha. Radhanath Swami is also very expert. Wherever you find, so many devotees are so expert in speaking Krishna. So we just want to go wherever there's Krishna Katha. Tyaja Gramya Katha, Sakalam Bifalam. This Gramya Katha is Bifal. It is not Safal, it is Bifal. Just run to wherever there's Krishna Katha and sit in that place and drink this Krishna Katha through your ears to your full satisfaction. So thank you very much. You were all a very wonderful, attentive audience that increases my happiness to speak about Krishna. So nothing else to say. Thank you. We can all fall down at the very soft and wonderful lotus feet of that great personality who's led us to these holy dhams of Vrindavan and Mayapur. Srila Prabhupada ki. Yeah.